Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Bible study on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been covering the Beatitudes in this section. Last Bible study, we covered the Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now we're at Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Now, the disciples of Jesus Christ are learning the way to peace. It's peacemakers, peacemakers. Now, think about this. These are people who know how to make peace, and it is a God-like quality. They're called the sons of God. Peacemaking is very important. When we think about the upcoming holy days in the fall, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's critical. It's critical and vital and part of what's going to make it very different in the world tomorrow, the millennium time frame that is pictured in the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as the Last Great Day. Those first fruits that will be serving with Jesus Christ in his government will know how to be peacemakers. Something very different than we see today. The world wants peace. It desperately wants peace. They have different organizations that study peace, how to do peace, and very few of them are very successful. At best, most of them know how to prevent violence at best. The UN peacemakers are those, or UN Peace Force, are those that are able to prevent violence from occurring and conflict. But peacemaking is another whole level. It means that people know how to make peace. So they're able to live with one another. They have harmony and care for one another. That is the world tomorrow. That's what's going to be different in the millennial time frame. So Jesus said the peacemakers, those who know how to make peace or how it's produced or created. Now let's talk about how peacemaking starts in three different areas. Or three specific areas. There's peace with God. How has that occurred? How was God a peacemaker? God was a peacemaker with each of us. Then there's peace with others or our neighbors. And then there's having peace within ourselves. Let's talk about these three areas. All very important areas of peacemaking. Now, peace with God. Now, this is where it starts. And it starts with what God did first. Now, you'll recognize that to be a peacemaker, often it takes somebody to do something first to create peace. And that's what God did. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, let's read this. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." Now, we're going to learn about how are we justified by faith. Well, he's going to tell us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and that we have faith that he is the Son of God, and our sins are removed, and we're forgiven. And then we have peace with God. We're justified by faith. We're able to stand before God. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Powerful scripture, a good one to understand, and very reassuring of how God was a peacemaker with us. How did he make peace? Well, he gave his son's life. We were all dead, as it says in Ephesians 2:1, we're all dead in trespasses and sins and sons of disobedience. We're, in other words, we were all dead men or dead women walking. We didn't have life within ourselves. We had all transgressed, whether we knew it or not. We were not. We were sons and daughters of disobedience. We weren't really ever trying to live a God life that was where we're reconciled and in alignment with God. And we didn't have life or eternal life within ourselves. So in a sense, we were dead in trespasses. Our trespasses have what separated us from God. Well, how did that separation get mended? Well, Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sins so that we can be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. Now, Paul also talks about this in Colossians 1, verse 19. And we'll read 2 two verses here, starting in verse 19, Colossians 1. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So in him, meaning Jesus Christ, and by him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself by him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So therefore, Christians are those who have peace with God, reconciled through the blood of Christ. God was willing to make peace. He was a peacemaker. He's the one, there was transgressions that started out really in the way this world was started out. The whole world started down a path of this world's foundations were built on the decision that Adam and Eve made that took this whole world down a path, separated from God, in a sense, turned their back on God. God didn't do anything wrong. He created the Garden of Eden. He made mankind in his image. He put them in a wonderful environment, showed them love, and they believed the serpent and decided to do things their own way. And we have the results of their own way in the society we see. Now we see a world, an age, you might say, we live in that can do wonderful things. We have people, as we say, that can do incredible technology, incredible things in science. We can do all sorts, mankind can do some incredible things. But what it cannot do, what it seems like it's unable to do, is have peace with one another. They strive for peace, but there is no peace. Well, that's because it goes back to the foundation of this world with Adam and Eve, where they turned their back on God and had in a sense said, we're going to do it our own way. And from that point on, there was a separation. Well, God was a peacemaker in the sense that he was not going to let that stay in place. He's going to reconcile all, have an opportunity to be reconciled back to him through Jesus Christ. It says in him, or in Jesus Christ, there can be reconciliation through the death of Jesus Christ. Well, that's God being a peacemaker. He had to do something to create a situation where peace can be brought back with mankind. And God can be at peace. Now, God's mission, if you might say it that way, is vision or mission of what he was going to do from the very beginning was to dwell with his children in peace and harmony. He was going to have godly children he could live with, and be with, and dwell with. Well, he's going to do that. And it begins with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So God and Christ are peacemakers in that sense. And it all starts with having peace with God, and that's how it begins. Now, let's now move on to peace with neighbor. Most importantly, begin with peace with God. Then we have peace with neighbor. It's one of the worst things is to have conflict with others. It creates so much anxiety, difficulty, stress, to have strife or difficulty with others. And so have peace with neighbors. How does that occur? Well, we have to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Well, it starts a lot of times with forgiveness. You know, we have to be able to, somebody's done something to us, somebody's hurt us, there's some trespass, something's happened. And to move forward, to be a peacemaker, there has to be some reconciliation that begins with forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus Christ says this. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses. So things happen. We get hurt. Somebody does something to us. And we hold on to that. Well, how can you have peace? Well, part of it is with forgiveness. It says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So peace with others involves forgiveness. And there's a whole lot we can say about that. There's Matthew 18 of how we reconcile, how we deal with trespasses, how we deal with conflict with others that where there's hurt and it needs to be addressed a certain way. But it always involves some level of forgiveness. We have hurt others, and we've certainly been hurt by others. And to be a peacemaker means forgiveness, the willingness to forgive. God forgives us, and we should forgive others. That's mentioned in the model prayer. Forgive others you know, as God's forgiven you. Now, there's a lot about how to live peaceably with others. Romans 12. Let's look at Romans 12 in a section here, and then we'll go down to Romans 14 and read a section there, because Paul talks about living peaceably with others. So Romans 12, verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things." So right off the bat, he's talking to the brethren about how to be of the same mind. And don't elevate yourself above others or on high things or things that are lofty in the sense that there's pride involved. That usually creates conflict. That creates problems. That's not being a peacemaker. That causes lack of peace. But he says, but associate with the humble. So he's showing an attitude here, being humble, not high-minded, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Well, what a great verse that is, a good sentence that is. You know, we're all wise in our own opinion at times. We're like, oh, well, I think this, and this is what I think. We kind of, you know, talk about our opinions as though they're so great. Well, the only thing that really matters is God's opinion. How does God look at something? And then that's what matters. It says, do not be wise in your own opinion. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Well, that goes against generally the way the world works. If someone does something to you, you do something back even worse to show them a lesson. But it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So that's this again. This is talking about the Christian mindset. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if it is possible, again, it's not always possible, but if it is possible, any way it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So sometimes, you know, there's just people who don't want peace. Well, maybe just avoid them. But if it's up to us, if we can do something about it, if it depends on us, live peaceably with all men. Don't be an agitator. Don't repay evil with evil. But live peaceably with all men as much as possible as it is, as much of it depends on us. That's what Paul's saying. Now, verse 19, it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So this is talking about if somebody has done something to you, give it to God and ask him to take care of it. And if he thinks it's worthy or it needs some kind of, you know, put it in his hands, put it in for him to decide how to take care of the situation where, you know, somebody's done something, but don't repay evil with evil. Just give it to God and let him take care of it. And then in verse 20, Paul writes, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Well, that sounds like peacemaking. You know, if your enemy is hungry, kick him while he's down. No. You know, many people would, you know, sort of be happy when somebody they view as an enemy is in a difficult situation. But here, Paul quotes scripture and says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. What a contrast. That's peacemaking. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. What a contrast to what most people would do. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And it says again, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's peacemaking. That's peacemaking at the core. Romans 14, let's go there. Romans 14 is an excellent chapter about having peace in the church, especially. And sometimes in our own way, we, you know, have our own form of righteousness that we think is important and that we want others to do. And that's what Paul really addresses in Romans 14, chapter 14. And about not being judgmental or having conflicts over things that really don't matter. God gives each individual a lot of leeway as long as it doesn't break God's law or hurt somebody else. You know, in a sense, there's God's law, but in that, there's a lot of leeway. And sometimes within this leeway, each one of us sometimes can determine that there's things that somebody should be doing. And you start getting squabbles or conflict over some things that really don't matter. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 14. And he says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. And that's what some of them were having issues with. They were getting fights over eating and drinking. And somebody was choosing not to eat meat, possibly because it was offered to idols and they were being vegetarians, therefore, and others are saying, well, it's no big deal. You know, that's what the context is about. He's trying to give him a bigger picture. A bigger picture of what's really important and what is the kingdom of God all about. Is it about those type of things? No, it is not. And he says, for the kingdom of God, which is what we're all seeking first, and its righteousness, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. A whole different way of approach. Making things for peace, you know, pursue the things which make for peace, and edify, build up, don't tear it down, is what Paul's saying. That's peacemaking. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about that. So peace describes harmonious relationships, first with God and then with others. Joy is the result of righteousness and peace. Again, Melchizedek. Remember Melchizedek? And we hear in Hebrews, they talk about Melchizedek, the high priest. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, is the king of righteousness and also the king of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, an excellent scripture for all of us to consider in context of the church. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Underline that, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is the author of peaceful congregations. Well, how does that occur? Well, there's a lot that can be said about that. But there shouldn't be strife and arguing, wrangling over things. But there should be peace in the church. Peace in the church. God is not the author of confusion. There shouldn't be confusion, but peace. Paul taught that all the churches of the saints, God's holy ones, are known for peace. So Christians maintain their peace with God by walking in peace and with their neighbors. There's no tensions in their relationships. They faithfully follow all of Christ's instructions on living at peace with others. So we have peace with God, peace with our neighbors. Then there's peace with ourselves, or inner peace. How do we have inner peace? Well, people really seek to have inner peace, and they're at conflict with there's conflict or issues within themselves that causes anxiety, problems, where they're not at peace. And you see this a lot in society for different reasons. But inner peace is impossible if in conflict with or strife with God and neighbors. So those who don't have peace with themselves are usually in conflict with God in some way, and there's some kind of constant conflict with neighbors. One of the things that causes the most stress internally is when you're in a dispute or not at peace with others that you work with or go to school with or your neighbors or go to church with. That's very stressful. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15 says this. Colossians 3, verse 12, 14 and 15. Excellent scripture here. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, so that's the church of God, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, those called out and put into the body of Christ. Therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved. Well, what a wonderful way to view the church members. Holy and beloved. That's how Christ views his future bride. Holy and beloved. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. These are all things that sound a lot like the Beatitudes or aspects of Beatitudes. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on. So there's all these other things. Put them on like a cloak. Put on like clothing, like a shirt. Put all these things on. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. So all of us were called to be in one body, members of the same body. And the body is going to work together in peace and harmony. And Paul's talking about how that's done. And he says, be thankful at the end of this. All part of having peace within yourself. So here we just read a description of God's saints. The peace of God rules in their hearts and they are thankful. Christians enjoy inner peace because they are reconciled to God and their neighbors, friends, neighbors, workmates, family. And there's no internal tension. There's nothing worse than having tension because there's conflict or tension from conflict. It's very stressful. Have peace within yourself because there's peace with God and peace with others. Proverbs 14:30 says this, a sound heart or heart at peace in NIV, a sound heart or heart at peace is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So here we get a little insight from Proverbs of what causes there to be problems sometimes within ourselves, why there's lack of peace. Well, it's envy. That's an aspect of it. Lust of the world, you know, and we start wanting things. But the sound heart, the heart at peace is life to the body. I mean, it just makes life so much better and more enjoyable. But envy is rottenness to the bones. Christians are those who, through the Spirit of God, are learning how to live in peace with God and man. So peacemaking requires instruction and training. Peacemaking requires instruction and training. There's a lot to peacemaking. We're covering an aspect of it, but we're called to be peacemakers. The peacemakers are the sons of God. And it's what we should be studying and knowing how to do. We should be peacemakers, not peace breakers, but peacemakers. All right, Matthew 5:11. We'll finish up with these two verses here today. Matthew 5:11-12 says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, so Jesus Christ's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here, if you really, you know, based on what Jesus Christ is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, after peacemaking, sometimes comes persecution. And sadly, that's what Jesus states does happen sometimes. That's what happened to the prophets. Why? Well, the sons of disobedience. Everybody else tends to not like those walking in the light and pursuing peace. Sometimes that creates some persecution coming our way if we're peacemakers. But that's what we're called to do. Now, Christ said this in John 15:18-19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So Christ is saying the world didn't really like him. And it says, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So those that are walking a different path, walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Beatitudes, developing the Beatitudes as their nature. Well, sometimes you'll come across, Christ is being very plain here, that the world does not like that. So sometimes there can be persecution for those doing the right things that are disciples of Jesus Christ. It says, persecuted for my own sake, for those that are trying to be disciples of Christ. So we need to make sure, though, that we are clear on this. Sometimes we can cause our own problems or persecution. And I think sometimes we do that to ourselves. We behave badly and think then that we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, a lot of times that's not the case. Sometimes we just cause our own persecution because we do certain things. We create issues that we don't need to do. So we must differentiate between cause and effect. Are we being beaten for our faults? Or are we being persecuted because we serve Jesus Christ? Now, if we're being persecuted because we're serving Jesus Christ, or if it's because of righteousness' sake, remember the words of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. It says rejoice and be exceedingly glad, For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So with that, we'll say goodbye for now, and we'll see you on the next Bible study.